some of the positions I picked up easier than others. Like, I would get done and be like, oh yeah, that's easy. And then other positions, looking at you, grouper, the one where you put the people on the train, like tell them what row to go to.
Yeah.
Was that the hardest one? I have always felt like when I'm a guest, I'm like, I would not know how to do that. And then you have problem guests like me.
On a scale, let's go 0 to 10, yeah. 0 being not at all, 10 being absolutely. How overwhelmed do you think you were for that first week of just like being here?
Maybe a 7.
Okay.
Because once I got into Flamingo and I got settled, I was like, oh, this is great. Mm. Like, I got in, there was the big Joffrey's truck, I got checked in, everything, I got moved in, I was like, I'm good. Okay. And then that first week you get to go to the parks and stuff before you like start training, I was like, this is the life. I feel like Hannah Montana.
And for anyone who's new and listening here, the Disney College program is a once-in-a-lifetime internship opportunity at Walt Disney World Resort.
Okay, let's go back even farther. So we've kind of like seen where we're gonna go. Mm-hmm. When you start to think about applying for this whole thing, and you know, you get in, you're there at home. Like, what's going through your mind before you even get to Flamingo Crossings Village?
I don't think I've ever been, I was ever like more excited to do something than the college program. I applied like on a whim. My mom was just like, oh, you should apply for this. You don't have any plans after college. And I was like, okay, sure.
Thanks, mom.
Because I was a Disney kid growing up. So like, obviously it was perfect for me. I know that now. But once I got in and I like, you know, was getting into it, you know, the days were counting down. I was filling out all the forms, getting ready. I just like could not wait. Like, I was literally bursting. I packed like a month in advance just because I was that excited. So it was just like the idea of living at Walt Disney World was like a dream to me because I didn't go much growing up. So I was like getting to do all of this as an adult and getting to experience the magic firsthand, you know, not for the first time, but like feeling like for the first time.
What was the process of like, okay, so you have this whole room at home and now you got to figure out like the downsize and packing to bring everything here, but like certain things, you know what I mean?
It was tough because I flew here. I'm from Tennessee and my mom is, sorry, mom, she's terrified of driving. And so she was like, fair. Love you. I'm not going to drive 10 hours to Florida for you. And so she was like, let's get a cheap flight. It's like an hour and a half flight. We got 3 bags. I had a carry-on, a checked bag and a backpack. That seems like a lot of space. It's really not.
That's not.
Preparing for at least 6 months of being here.
That's a weekend trip for me.
Exactly. Like, that's how much I prepare for, like, a week.
Yeah.
Like, I only packed summer clothes, which this year proved to be kind of a mistake. Got really chilly. Cold there for a minute. Yeah. It still is. I'm wearing a hoodie right now. So, like, it was mostly just trying to figure out what was essential. Because I'm a hoarder. And so I was like, okay, I have a giant room full of stuff. What do I bring for a 6 month trip to Florida, basically?
Yeah. So did you, because you only packed essentials, have you like accumulated stuff then, like during your time?
Oh, yeah. I'm a bad influence on myself and others when it comes to shopping.
Oh, great.
Especially with our 40% holiday discount. I was a little dangerous with that. So like half of my clothing in my closet is stuff that I bought since being on my program.
I need
like all this stuff I'm wearing right now. Ears, jacket. This I bought within the last like
not
month, maybe.
Brought with you. Did not pack this outfit. No. I'm obsessed.
None of this was packed.
I love that. What is that first week like then? Because you mentioned you're going to the parks. You're like getting adjusted. Like what all are you doing in that first week?
So the first day was mostly just move in and stuff. Like, you know, getting to Flamingo, coming in from the airport. Like I said, I did fly. I got the video of me driving through the Walt Disney World like entrance.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm here. You know, it was awesome. And you just like get your apartment, you meet your roommates. I had amazing roommates when I first moved in. I still keep in touch with them, even though they've moved out by now. I also had a friend from my college who was in my theater department come down with me. We moved in on the same day. Hi, Chapel.
Shout out theater kids.
Shout out Chapel. It was like, I don't know, it was, I felt like a new person. I was like, you know, on my own for the first time. I was in a whole new place, but it also all still felt very familiar because it was Disney. Like, yeah. I was like, this is, I feel right at home.
There's this huge build-up moment of meeting the people that you're gonna live with and like spend all this time with. So you accomplish that, and then you leave the apartment and you realize there are thousands of other people on this program that I'm gonna have to meet some of them too. Like, so what was your process of meeting just other people on the program that weren't in your apartment?
Well, I met a lot of people coming in, like, through Instagram and stuff. Like, I would see, like, on the program Facebook pages and stuff, I'd be like, oh, these are people who are, like, have similar interests to me. Oh, this person has the same role as me. I wonder if we'll work together. And so I met a lot of people like that that I knew coming in already. But then also just, like, going to the welcome events and stuff. I specifically remember on the day after I moved in, they had one of the welcome parties that was Toy Story themed. I love a character meet and greet, and so I was signed up just to do the character meet and greet. But like, I went around, I talked to other people, I learned other people that had like my role, other people in attractions. I met people from my hometown because I saw people wearing like merch from my college hometown. And I was like, oh my gosh, other people from Tennessee, what are the odds? And so little things like that really can make you a lot of friends here. Like, I have a friend, we bonded over our love of the Lion King. Like, that's all it took for us to become friends. Yeah. Like, we still talk every day.
Yeah. I love that. So it's easy, you know?
Yes,
like, you're with a bunch of people who, you know, are into the same things that you're into, similar interests, reasons for being there, probably.
Exactly.
Lots to bond over. Yeah. You mentioned, you know, some of the things that you're able to do week one, like some of the trainings or like events they have. Like, what are some of those things that you were able to go to?
Yeah. So on the day you move in, they gather a bunch of people who are arriving at the same time, like at the, like who are all like 10 a.m. arrivals or whatever. They'll get you all together. You'll watch a video about life at Flamingo. They'll talk about some of the things that they offer. They'll talk about some of the rules and things like that. And then you get your key. You get your ID photo taken for your Disney Blue ID. And then you're sent off to go find your room. And so I had my little map. I was looking around being like, okay, building three, like, where am I? I live at East, which is super cool because you're right next to Apprentice Hall, which is where they have all the events and stuff. And so like, I'm three steps away from like character meet and greets and celebrities and stuff. It's really, really cool. And so that first day is mostly just getting settled. Like, you know, you get to explore Flamingo, you get to go around in the area. And then basically the rest of the week, you just get to play around in Orlando and at Alamo Disney World property, which is super duper cool. Yeah. You get a 3-day like park hopper ticket to use on your first 3 days, to use before your training starts. And you can go to any park you want. So obviously the first park I went to is Magic Kingdom. I spent 3 full park days. I was like, okay, I have to make this count as if I wasn't going to be able to go again next week.
Right. You don't work here now.
I was like, I treated it like a vacation, which I shouldn't have.
I'll never see this place again.
Yeah. Exactly. Even though I work here now. Yeah,
and you work in Magic Kingdom.
Exactly. So that's why I went to I was like, I have to go see the place I work.
Aww.
It was super duper cool. You also do get your training schedule that week. So like, I found out what specific attraction I was at. Because when I got my role, it just said Fantasyland East Attractions. And so I was like frantically Googling. I was like, okay, what is Fantasyland East Attractions? What are my options? It's Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, Enchanted Tales with Belle, Journey of the Little Mermaid, the Storybook Circus area, so Dumbo and the Barnstormer. And then the Tomorrowland Speedway for some reason.
Right, which is not in Fantasyland.
Not at all, but it's like, it's right next to Dumbo. So like, it like kind of counts, but like, I think they said Tomorrowland had too many attractions.
What is something that you feel like within that first week, maybe I need to prepare a little bit more for this or do something a little bit different?
So the Friday, like you arrive is traditions. And that's kind of the big day where it's like your orientation to the company. You get your name tag, you get your blue ID, you get to meet other cast members. They tell you everything it takes to be a Disney cast member, how it started, you know, the mission. You go over basically everything it takes to be a cast member. And you leave there with your name tag in your hand and you're like, wow, this is real. Like, I am a Walt Disney World cast member. Like I said, I literally took a picture of my name tag with my college on it and sent it to my college president. And I was like, look. Because I went to a tiny college. So I was like, it's really cool to have Maryville College on a Disney World name tag.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Obviously, a big part of your role mm-hmm. is what you're wearing mm-hmm. and like how you're presenting yourself. So talk up to us about the costuming process.
You have this day called Once Upon a Time is Now, and it's like your Magic Kingdom facility tour. You get to take a tour of Magic Kingdom. You get to learn about the history of the park. You get to go to every corner. Everybody gets to go to costuming together. So they do take you to costuming. You don't have to do it all on your own time. They tell you what costumes are yours, so that way you're not grabbing the wrong costumes. I love my costume. I am a big fan. I have two since I'm in the forest attractions, which is like Mine Train and Little Mermaid and stuff like that. If you ever see the people that like are in the green, like Peter Pan-esque outfit, that's me. That's the vibe. And then I'm also at Storybook Circus, so I get the little circus costume, okay. which is cute. My personal favorite costume because it has it's super duper cute. It's very breathable, especially since it's all outside. Mm-hmm. And you get a top hat and tailcoats. Ah. I love it.
Yeah. So cute.
Yeah, I got very lucky with my costumes because I love my costume so much. They're super duper comfortable. Specifically my top hat. Like the second I found out I was going to be training at the Storybook Circus, I was like, I need the top hat. Yeah. I want that top hat so bad.
That's amazing. And you got it.
I got it and I wear it every day. Yes.
So did you know anything about the training and what that process was going to be like before you started? Or was that just like, I'm going in blind?
I knew very little. All I knew was that attractions is safety critical, so there's a lot more that goes into it.
But then you're on the job and you're like training. What is that like?
My training experience was a lot, to say the least. My first complex was the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, which as your introduction to the company operating a roller coaster, a lot.
Don't mess up.
A little stressful, mostly because on the first day they like give you a tour of everything. They tell you all the specific things. You get into a few positions and there's like 200 readings you have to do.
Readings? What does that mean?
So you have like different readings about like the specific like positions. You have different readings about like what to do in case of like emergencies, things like that. And so all that stuff is just being like, here's how we do things just before you start.
Yes.
And all that you have to do before you're signed off is all the readings and stuff.
At any point, you know, because you're explaining this is all like new territory, mm-hmm. right? And you have such a small amount of time to do all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Did you have one of those second guess moments of like, am I ready? Am I equipped? Mm-hmm. Can I do this? Did you have any of that?
Yeah, there were a few times when I would get done at a position and I would like go backstage and be like, some of the positions I picked up easier than others, like I would get done and be like, oh yeah, that's easy. And then other positions, looking at you, grouper, the one where you put the people on the train, like tell them what row to go to.
Yeah.
Was that the hardest one? I have always felt like when I'm a guest, I'm like, I would not know how to do. And then you have problem guests like me, mm-hmm. I do this, who are like on Tiana's Bayou Adventure, who are like, if I don't get the front of the log, like I'm not writing. I want the front.
I will say people asking for the front is not like as big of a deal to us as you think it is. Unless it's like one after another guest asking for the front, because then it gets stressful being like, okay, I have to remember who wants the front, who wants the back. But grouper specifically was stressful because you have like 45 seconds to book the whole train.
Oh my gosh.
You have 45 seconds to book 10 rows. Mm-hmm. And you have to pair your odd parties together. So it's like, okay, party of three, two people on one, one person on two. Oh, another party of three, one person on two, two people on three. Like it's a lot to think about.
How long do you feel like it took you before you felt confident in all of those different roles?
Probably like 2 months, I would say. Mm-hmm. Like I started in, like I finished my assessment about late August. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like super duper comfortable there until probably October.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think that there is a pressure with like, I have to be perfect or I have to be this, because that's the, either from the Disney perspective, it's mm-hmm. the Disney way, or just because everybody on TikTok is like, you know, showcasing their best things. You know what I mean? Like, do you feel that kind of pressure to do that?
I did feel like I had to be perfect day one, only because I was watching other cast members doing it. And I was like, how are they so good at that? Like, how am I ever going to get to their level? Mm-hmm. Realizing I'm on day two of my training and I'm a baby, basically. and these people have been here for months or years and they do it every day. But I was also like, if I mess up, like you know, the whole thing's going to go down, basically, is how I was treating it. Like, I had the entire ride on my back.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if I missed one seat and I left a seat open, everything was going to come crumbling down. Like, obviously not the truth. obviously, they would prefer no open seats, but if it is an open seat, it's not the end of the world. Yeah, like, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's such an interesting, like, dynamic, too, because it is important, right? This is a theme park, and it's safety is critical, right? But at the same time, you hear people, like good leaders, who say, you know, it's okay to fail, and like, you'll learn from it. So balancing both of those things out, like, they're almost on opposite ends. You're like, okay, there is a middle ground
exactly.
for this.
Like, there's some things that are less of a deal than others. Like, if I leave a few open seats on a train, not the end of the world. You know, that's not gonna mess anything up. So I can let myself breathe a little bit about things like that. Like, if I just can't find a party of two to fill up a seat, who cares?
The train will still run.
Exactly.
Yes. I know you mentioned, like, you're working with leaders, you're working with other college program participants, you're working with people who have been here for months, maybe years. Were you able to kind of rely on some of those older cast members, like more veteran cast members for that training? And kind of what did that dynamic look like?
Yeah. So on my day one, like literally my orientation, my tour of Magic Kingdom, I met my best friend, Arabella. We found out we were both in Fantasyland East, and then we started talking, and she was like, oh, I met Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. And I was like, no way, me too. Having another CP there who like understood my situation, was doing the same exact thing I was, really helped me out, especially since she's hilarious. Like, she helped me calm down about a lot of things. Like, I'd text her and be like, I don't think I'm going to make it, girl. And she'd be like, why? Like, you're fine. Like, she kept me grounded. But then I also met a lot of the veteran cast and a lot of the coordinators and stuff. They would come up to me and be like, hey, you're doing really good. Like, I would be at a position that, like, I was freaking out about, like, oh, it's my first time in this position off training, I'm gonna mess up something. And they would walk up to me and be like, hey, do you need anything? Or like, hey, you're doing really good. Like, you know, you just booked 5 trains in a row without missing a seat. Like, good job.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a lot of the other, like, veteran cast who would be in a position where, like, they could help, would be like, hey, if you need a second, I can take over and do this for you. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want me to, like, help you catch up or whatever.
You talked about, like, the people who are going out of their way to check in on you or offer advice or whatever. But did you also feel comfortable enough to, like, be the one approaching them if you needed to?
Yeah, I would definitely come up and be like, especially if it was somebody who had told me before that, like, hey, if I'm able to and you need help, don't be afraid to ask me. I would walk up and be like, hey, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm falling behind. Can you help me real fast? Yeah. Or I don't remember how to do this specific thing. Can you help me? Especially with, like, closing procedures, because every closing procedure is, like, different. And you only do one closing training. And as a CP, I mostly do closings. So I was like, it has been like 3 weeks since I've done this. I don't remember a thing. And they'd be like, oh, don't worry, I got you. Like, you know, I'll walk you through it real fast. Like, they wouldn't do it for me, which I appreciated. They would walk me through it and remind me of all the specific things I needed to do. Because, like I said, I am a very hands-on learner. And so having someone do things for me, it does not help me at all. Mm-hmm. Having someone be there to be like, okay, so you press this button and then you're going to turn this knob. That really helps me out.
You're someone who, from what it seems like, you know, you came into this, and even though you had some, like, hesitations and things, and, you know, you talked about, like, moments of failure, right? But you still pushed forward, and you had that kind of perspective with it. There are a lot of people who come in and just, like, they sit in that nervousness, in that just feeling uneasy. So kind of what would you say to them in those situations?
I would say that you're... training is not what every day of your job is going to feel like. Like, when you're training, it is going to be overwhelming because you're being thrown a billion new pieces of information at once, and you're expected to memorize all of it and be like, you feel like you have to be perfect on day one. Yeah. And so when you're there and you're doing your training, it's like, how am I going to do this every single day? Like, I feel like my head is going to explode, basically. But then when you're out of training, it's fine. Like, you have moments where it's stressful, obviously, especially in attractions where it's super fast paced and, you know, everything is happening all at once. But you really can calm down and take a breath after your training. And I wish I'd known that when I started, because every day I was like, how am I going to do this? Like, it's so much, especially a roller coaster. Like, it's not even an easy attraction to start out at, because there are some attractions, they're all kind of stressful. They all have a lot of the same rules, but a roller coaster is a lot, especially starting out. But after my training, I got really comfortable. I really enjoyed what I did. Specifically being at such a big attraction, like being at a single pass attraction at Magic Kingdom, I can make so much magic for people. Mm-hmm. Like, I can offer them the front row, even if they don't ask for it. You know, I can offer re-rides to families with little kids who that was their first roller coaster. Mm-hmm. If a family, you know, comes by and I see they have a birthday pin, I can be like, oh, do you guys want to come through the lightning lane? You know, I can make a ton of magic. And that's what keeps me going, is the fact that I can make so much magic at the attractions I work at.
I did want to ask, like, now that you're kind of on the other side of it, mm-hmm. what skills do you think someone needs to be really successful in this kind of fast-paced, high-visibility role?
You have to be open to change. That was a big thing. It's the fastest paced thing I've ever done in my life. Like, even though I grew up in theater and choir, I've had jobs before. I have never experienced anything where it's like you're constantly doing something. You're constantly moving, checking lap bars every 45 seconds, you know, like you also have to be super hyper aware of things. Like, you can't let, even if it's a little thing that like you wouldn't think matters, like somebody having a fanny pack on when they're sitting in the train. Stuff like that really matters.
Is that not allowed?
Mm-mm. Like, you can have it on, it just can't be under the lap bar, if that makes sense. It's like, we have to look and like notice things like that. Or like, if a little kid has a backpack on that we don't notice or something like that.
Yeah.
We have to notice hyper specific things like that.
Yeah.
That was the hardest thing for me, is like having to look out for every single little thing. Mm-hmm. But the more you see it, the more you know what to look for, which is nice. So like, now I can spot it from a mile away.
Yeah. Well, maybe one day.
Maybe one day.
Manifest. Yeah. So we've talked a lot. I mean, you have really walked us through like beginning to end, like before your program even starts, how you prep for that, the week one, the training, the onboarding, all of it. It's a lot to handle. And you have mentioned like it can sometimes feel overwhelming at first, which is pretty common. What advice do you have for other people who are maybe starting their program, or who are thinking about applying, who are kind of worried about like, oh, this just sounds very overwhelming to me?
Well, I will just be honest, it is overwhelming. Like, that's the reality of it. Like, you're not alone in the fact that it's overwhelming. Every other person who's training with you, people who have been there for years, when they started out, it was overwhelming. Because, you know, it's a lot to learn all at once, especially if it is your introduction to the company. Like, you know, being thrown in into a roller coaster, it's going to be a little bit stressful for the first few days. But I think, at least for me, it was really important to realize that you do not have to be 100% on day one. Like, that's why you're training. They are giving you a lot of time to get the hang of it. And they also know that when you're assessing and they're checking to see if you can do the stuff, they're not seeing if you're perfect at it. Like, you don't have to be able to do everything at top speed on day one. They just have to see if you can do it. Like, if you, if you're going to get the hang of it, like, can you understand these concepts, basically? And that took a little while for me to get, was that they're not looking for me to be spot on 100% cast member. I can do this tomorrow. They're just seeing if I can get it. Like, if I show some basic understanding, I'll be fine. Cause you will get it eventually. Like I said, it took me a little while to get like super duper comfortable, especially since there are some days when you're doing the same positions like over and over again. And then there'll be weeks where you don't touch a position at all. Like, just cause it is completely random what position you get when you go and pull.
Right.
But since you have to do everything, you know, you have to be good at everything, or you have to be at least competent in everything. So I would just say, you know, don't strive to be perfect when you're starting out, because nobody's going to be perfect the second they're starting out. You will get there eventually. You'll get really comfortable eventually. You'll be able to teach people eventually. But during your training week, just try to take it all in and understand what you're doing before you try to be top notch, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I feel like if I were an incoming participant coming to this program and I'm listening to everything that you're saying, I'm going to be all right now.
Exactly. Yeah.
You gave me the blueprint.
Even if you're not attractions, like even if you, you know, don't quite understand like the register on day one or whatever, that's okay. As long as they think you will get the hang of it and you're going to get better over time, you'll be okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like Josiah said, you basically gave us the blueprint here on how to navigate at least the first couple months of your Disney College program. So thank you so much for that. And thank you for stopping by. This was so fun.
I know. Oh, such a blast. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes.
And if you want to hear more amazing stories like these, be sure to tune in and subscribe to wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you want more information about the Disney College program, visit DisneyCollegeProgram.com. We'll see you guys soon.